Now, I'm not sure of the date, but I do know the place was here in Winnipeg. And my wife, Jess, she was now a stay-at-home mom. She had spent countless hours of playing peekaboo and other games, and they were slowly beginning to take their toll upon her. And one evening, she was walking around and she smacked her toe, her bare toe, on the corner of a dresser or something. I can't remember what it was. And she grabbed her foot and she sank to the floor and her eyes began to fill with tears and I heard her cries. So I rushed to go see what was wrong. And I asked where it was that she hurt. And she looked through her tear-filled eyes at me and she managed to moan, "It's the piggy that ate the roast beef." Such are the joys and the pains of being a mother. And this morning I want us to take a very quick gaze into the story of Ruth. We find that it's really the story of another woman whose influence changed the course of history. Like a mother who hides in the background so that her children can stand out, Naomi becomes a supporting actress in this drama from the time of the judges. And in each act, this story displays for us the character and the qualities of a godly mother, or in this case, mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth starts off like this. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. Now Elimelech died, and she was left with her two sons. And they married Moabite women. And after they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. And when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. Now this first act I call faith. One of the commentaries I read depicted Naomi as a whining, miserable, ungodly woman. But you know what? I don't believe it. I just find it hard to believe that this woman was such a complainer. How many of you have ever been around somebody who is a complainer? Yeah, there's been a few of us. Yes, I see at least one hand out there. Do you like being around complainers? Do you like being around whiners? Do you find it easy to love people who complain? Would you choose and be willing to choose to live with a complainer? No, of course not. And that's why I believe that Naomi was not a complainer. I don't believe she was that nagging, evil-tempered, critical, bitter woman that the commentators want us to believe she was. Of course she had reasons to be unhappy. She had just lost her husband, and 10 years later she lost both of her sons. She had no visible prospects in her future. She laments. She declares that she believes God is punishing her. And yet she doesn't curse God or turn from him. In fact, when Ruth encounters Boaz much later on in the story, she says these words, "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." And she added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Naomi was a woman of everyday faith who had hit rock bottom. And I believe that if it hadn't been for her everyday faith that showed up in a backwards way when all was seemingly lost in that dark, those dark days of her life, if it hadn't been for Naomi's everyday faith, Ruth would not have said these words, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried." Those are not the words of somebody complaining, of somebody who wants to be around somebody who's a complaining. If it hadn't been for Naomi and her relationship with God, Ruth would have remained in Moab, worshiping foreign gods, forever outside of God's blessings. Mothers and mother-in-laws, take heart. Because of Naomi's witness, Ruth comes into a special relationship with God and becomes highly regarded and is in great favor with God. Naomi lived her faith every day in every way. And sometimes we are tempted within the walls of our home, among the people closest to us, to let our hair down, to do and say things that we don't really want others to hear because we know they're ungodly. We would never act that way in front of others, of strangers, but our family, they see who we really are. And the only thing of value that we can give is what we are, not what we have. There's an author by the name of Virgil Hennesley. He shared this story. He says, several years ago, in a tropical country where there were many Americans living, a terrible eye disease struck. It affected primarily children. American children seem to be even more vulnerable, apparently due to some immune deficiency. They didn't have those natural defenses built up within them. And the signs of the disease were unmistakable. 5 days after the first symptom, blindness began to set in. And one morning, one of the American's mothers woke up and she began to see these symptoms in her child, in her little girl's eyes, and she immediately took her to the doctor, only to have her worst fears confirmed. She had the disease. And holding back the tears, the mother then took her daughter by the hand and walked her into a nearby field. Mother picked up the child and she held her and she told her to notice how the sunlight just glistened. She looked at her daughter's hair and her hands and carefully examined them together. Looked at some yellow flowers in the field and how complicated and how intricate they were. This structure that only God could have made. Then the mother turned the little girl's face towards her own and says, "What color is my hair?" "Black, mommy. Black and pretty. And my eyes, look at them. What color are they?" "They're blue. Blue like the sky," she said, patting her mother's face. And as she looked into her mother's, or into her daughter's eyes, the eyes that would soon go dim, she asked, "And what do you see in your mother's eyes?" "Love, mommy. I see love." What do your children see in your eyes when they look in there? Do they see love? Do they see God? Looking into the eyes of Naomi, Ruth saw a God who was strong enough to sustain her no matter what. Naomi had every reason to be unhappy. She had lost all of these things in her life. She had moved away from her homeland with her husband into a foreign land of pagans. Her sons had married pagan women. All of these things. Yet in her lament, she declares that she believes God is punishing her. She doesn't curse God. The devotion that Naomi had for God was obvious. And it was so intense that Ruth committed herself in devotion to Naomi. The very act of following Naomi was, in essence, an act of faith in God. The example of living by faith in God that Naomi gave Ruth, it gave her a reason to believe and to develop her own faith in God. And so Act 2 begins with Ruth going out into the fields of the harvest to see what the harvesters had left. And chapter 2 starts off this way. In verse 2 it says, "And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, 'Let me go into the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor.' And Naomi said to her, 'Go ahead, my daughter.'" So she went out and she began to glean the fields behind the harvesters. She's in a bit of a precarious position, actually. A young widow, probably an illegal alien, trying to etch out a meager existence for herself and her mother-in-law. She could be driven away from the fields by the servant girls, attacked by the male servants, imprisoned, punished by the owner of the field as a thief. But God allowed her to find favor in the eyes of Boaz. In Ruth, later on, chapter 2, it says, "So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in others' fields. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along with the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And wherever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled.' At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground and she exclaimed, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?' And Boaz replied, 'I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland, and you came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord,' she said. 'You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls.'" You see, the two sons, they married local girls. And it was at a stage that their troubles began to reveal the worst. Here she is, she's a strange widow, she's responsible for her daughters-in-law. Naomi is in quite the predicament. She's without a home, she's without a husband, she's without sons, without fellowship. What did the worship of Jehovah mean to her now? Don't let anybody think that they're beyond making mistakes, because we're all prone to wander and stray from God and his perfect plan and purpose. Disaster upon disaster pile up in Naomi's life. But yet there's a hint to the cross providence of God. Do you remember those things? Those cross providences, those pains, some of our pains seem unbearable, those circumstances so unjust that some of us begin to question. And some of those questions go without answers. And we learn from Naomi that faith sometimes means a willingness to leave such questions into the mystery of the hands of God, in confidence that he will show himself that he was actually trustworthy all along, even in the darkest hour. And in that dark hour, we begin to see the favor of God quietly and gently being given to us. Life has to go on, even in the hard times. Faith will sometimes mean leaving unanswered difficulties into the hands of God. I don't understand it. Whenever looking for and expecting God to work his purposes out in his providential ways. And Naomi had the good spiritual sense to realize that when help came, it would come from the land of Judah, not from the land of Moab. And although Naomi was physically in Moab, her heart remained in Judah, and she hadn't allowed herself to forget God. And she was alerted by the news and said, there's food in Judah. There's food in my homeland. The famine is over. The Lord has visited his people and given them food." How does one find favor? You know what? We live in a society that prizes the lifestyles of the rich, the beautiful, the famous. Although few of us will ever go there, and most of the people who actually get there end up lonely and unhappy. Success cannot be a destination because the grass will be greener on the other side. When we find favor with God, or we will find favor with God, when we choose to serve unselfishly. Ruth was that type of woman. Naomi was that type of woman. One who worked hard, who was humble, who was not self-centered, who had a servant's heart, who lived her faith in a way that others saw it. In Ruth chapter 3, it says, "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All of my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." A woman of noble character. Although Ruth could have gone back home and taken the easy way out, she chose to follow Naomi. And not just Naomi, but her God. Even without the promise of a favorable conditions ahead, she knew nothing about what she was getting herself into. The book of Ruth concludes with the third act, family. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Then he went to her and the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Abimadad. Abimadad the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse the father of David. There are 41 separate genealogies in the Bible. How many of you love reading them? You ever stop to wonder why they're there? These family trees are really faith albums of God's promises to his people. When God made the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 that all the families would be blessed through him, we see God has grafted in individuals like Rahab, like Ruth, in order to bring David into this world. When we come to Matthew chapter 1, we see that the lineage of Boaz and Ruth from Bethlehem ended up in David's greatest son being born. Born of a virgin in a stable in Bethlehem, Jesus. Because of Naomi and Ruth's faith, and favor, God provided a family that would change the world. Because of Naomi's faith, Ruth followed her. Just as God plucked Ruth out of a rough world and adopted her into the family faith tree, when we look at how Naomi treated Ruth from the beginning, we see that she actually releases Ruth to go back. She says, in essence, "Honey, you don't have to go with me. I know that you have parents here, that your family is here, that this is your native land. These are all dear to you. Feel free to return." But Ruth did not. The other daughter-in-law did. We never hear about her again. But Ruth followed her. She doesn't attempt to manipulate Ruth. She released her. And Ruth, once they get back down into Judah, Ruth, she begins to fall in love with Boaz. She needs desperately some good motherly advice. Notice that she's being led and inspired by Naomi. She's not pushing her out. She's not controlling her. She's not telling her, you have to do this or you have to do this. She's leading and inspiring her. And then in the time when Obed shows up, it was a happy day for Naomi. She didn't say, he's not my son. He's got nothing to do with me. Yeah, you were a daughter-in-law, but you've been married again to somebody else. It's got nothing to do with me. No. Her heart was way too big to make such a statement. She accepted him as her own son. Nowadays, she would have taken him to Walmart to show him off. She would have had 100 pictures taken of the little fellow. She would have entered him in the most beautiful baby contest. That was Naomi's boy, but she was his granny. That's what being a mother-in-law is all about. Naomi is truly a model for all. She released her daughter-in-law to make life decisions. She counseled her on courtship and marriage. She took Ruth's baby in as her own. In her ways, she becomes an example to all who would lead their families towards God. And on this very special day of Mother's Day, mothers, take heart. It's your example. It's your example that will lead your children. For some of us, Mother's Day is a hard day. Our mothers are not with us physically, or maybe in another province like mine. Some of us have mothers who are no longer with us at all. But on these days, we can still think upon our mothers. Think upon who they are and remember what they've done for us. It's a book that Mary Jo read to us. I love you forever. I like you for always. As long as I'm alive, I will be your baby. Call your mothers this day. Spend time with them if you can. Let them know that you appreciate them. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the example of godly women that you have given us in their scriptures. We thank you for the example of Naomi, whose everyday faith lived in every way, brought Ruth into your family. We thank you that she found favor in your eyes. And praise you for this example. And Father, we ask for your blessing upon each and every mother. We ask for your blessing upon each one that is going to be a mother someday. We pray that you would encourage them, put people into their lives, to help them grow closer to you, that they might be that shining example that they need to be for their children. We ask a special blessing upon them this day, as it is Mother's Day. We honor them. Father, to you be all the glory, majesty, and power. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.